Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. Welcome in the Savior's name. It's good to have you joining with us today, and we look to the Lord that He will meet with us and bless our hearts. Let's seek Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before Thee, and we come once more to Thy throne of heavenly grace, knowing that Thou indeed art the God of all grace. We thank Thee that we approach the throne in our Saviour's name. We praise Thee for His sinless life, that life that is our righteousness. And we praise Thee too for His atoning death that is the atonement for our sins. And we know that by believing in Him, we are fully justified. We're justified freely by Thy grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we cry to Thee that as we gather around Thy Word, as we lift our hearts in praise to Thee, that Thou wilt come nigh unto us and meet with us each one, and grant us Thy blessing for Christ's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading is in the Old Testament scriptures, in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 50, and we're reading from the fourth verse. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. And the Lord will add once more his own blessing to the reading of his precious word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Now let's sing again to God's praise that wonderful hymn, When You Feel Weakest, Dangers Surround, Subtle Temptations, Troubles Abound, Nothing Seems Hopeful, Nothing Seems Glad, All Is Despairing, Even Time Sad. Times of testing and trial are not uncommon experiences for the children of God. The Apostle Peter tells us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Many of God's dear children have faced, and indeed many are facing now, just such trials, difficult times, rightly described as fiery trials. But in all of them, of whatever kind, one thing is happening. There is a testing of the faith and trust in the Lord. Scripture gives us numerous examples of this. Too many for us to mention just now, but I draw your attention just to one or two by way of introduction. Think of Abraham, when the Lord told him to offer up his son Isaac. That was a great trial. That was a time of testing for his faith. Then think of Elijah, when God had directed him to go to the brook Cherith, and he was to hide himself there and drink of the water of the brook. But as he remained, he noticed that the brook was drying up, and that which is essential for physical life, water, would soon be gone. What was he to do? It was a time of testing. Would he lean to his own understanding and make his own choice, or would he wait on the Lord and seek him? His faith was being tested in the time of trial. And then we could think of Job, that dear saint of God. He was tested and tried in so many ways, wasn't he? He was certainly tried and tested when he lost all his family. What a trial. When he lost all of his possessions, another trial. And then when he lost his own health, a great trial. And yet, he did say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." It was as if Job knew the counsel that's found in our text here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." The theme that I want to think upon with you is simply this: trusting in testing times. Trusting in testing times. And as we turn to our text here, this 10th verse of Isaiah 50, notice first of all the people who are described. Who are they? Well, undoubtedly they are God's people. They are the children of God. And they're described in a twofold way. That's how we know this text refers to the people of God. They are spoken of and described as those who fear the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? The fear of God is a mark of all that are in the family of God. For those who are the Lord's people, they desire to walk before the Lord in his way, not in their own way. And that's in marked contrast to those who are unsaved, those who are ungodly and unrighteous, those who are of the world. When Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome, in Romans chapter 3, from verse 10 down to verse 18, he speaks of those who are walking in a way that is contrary to the way of the Lord. They don't seek the Lord. They don't understand the Lord. They have no desire to follow the Lord. And he sums up their condition in verse 18 when he said these words: "There is no fear of God before their eyes." So they don't walk in the fear of the Lord. Yet you might say, "Preacher, you talk about the fear of God. Well, what do you mean by that? What is the fear of God?" Well, put very simply, it's that which gives us the desire to live constantly before the eye of the Lord and under the guidance of his commandments and his precepts. Or we could express it this way. It's that regard of the Lord where His smile of approval is the longing of the heart, and His frown of disapproval is the dread of the heart. Is that how you are living? In the fear of the Lord, always longing for His approval, not wanting to do anything or say anything that would displease Him or would in any way dishonor Him. To be like those Christians in the early New Testament church, where it's recorded of them in Acts chapter 9, that they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Listen to it. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Or as Paul said in writing to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 12, verse 28, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So the people that we're looking at here are a people who do fear the Lord. But they're described in another way. They're described as those who obey the Lord. Listen again to our text. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? So they fear the Lord, and remember, the fear of the Lord, the true fear of the Lord, is a fruit of God's grace, and it's a fruit of God's grace that manifests itself in obedience to the Lord, in obeying the commandments of the Lord, as we find it expressed in Hebrews 5, verse 9. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. Think of what the Lord said in Isaiah 48 and verse 18. O that thou hadst hearkened. And the word hearkened there really has the meaning of obeyed. O that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. A Christian obeys the voice of the servant of God. That's what our text says, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, God's servant. And who is the servant of God? None other than Jesus Christ Himself, the one who is the good and the great and the chief shepherd of God's sheep, of God's people. And what did the good shepherd say? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the only way that we can follow the one who is our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is if we obey Him. So the people described here are a people who fear God and a people who obey Him. But then we find that there's a problem. Listen to the text again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Walking in darkness? The people of God? The children of God who are fearing God, who are seeking to obey the Lord, and they're walking in darkness and they have no light? How could that possibly be? Well, what does the word darkness mean? In many places in the Scripture, the word that's translated darkness is a reference to sin. For example, in 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And obviously the word translated darkness there is a reference to sin. If we're walking always in the ways of sin, how could we say that we're having fellowship with the Lord? We would not be telling the truth if we said that we were fellowshipping with God and still walking in the ways of sin. But here the darkness in our text in Isaiah 50 verse 10 is not speaking about a moral darkness in reference to sin. No, this darkness that's spoken of here has to do with not feeling in our own hearts and sensing in our own souls that the Lord's face is towards us. we have somehow got the feeling and the impression that the Lord has withdrawn himself, just as Job had when he said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle or lamp shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." Oh, there are times when the believer has times of darkness, maybe in prayer. Maybe you've been praying about something, maybe for some time now, and you're thinking, "Well, does the Lord hear me? It seems as if the Lord is not answering my prayer." And for you, this is appearing to be a time of darkness. It's a great delight when you know the help of the Spirit of God in prayer, isn't it? And then there are those times when you pray and it just doesn't feel like that at all. For you, it's a time of darkness. Maybe it's a time of sickness, a time of illness. Maybe you've had a prolonged illness. Maybe your illness is such that you feel there really is no hope of recovery from it. And for you as a child of God who fears the Lord, who seeks to obey the Lord, it seems to be a time of darkness. Maybe you've been looking for guidance in some matter, and you've been praying, and you don't feel that you've got certainty. You have a choice to make. You have a decision to make, and you're uncertain about it, and you would love to have that certainty. As yet, you haven't got it, and for you, it is as a time of darkness. Maybe there are events and circumstances that have happened in your life or in the life of your family or in ones near and dear to you, and they seem to make no sense. You say, "Well, why did this happen? Why did it work out like that? Could it not have been different?" And for you, it is as a time of darkness. You seem to be walking in darkness and you have no light. The psalmist said in Psalm 36 and verse 9, "In thy light shall we see light." He prayed in Psalm 43, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." And maybe you're praying like that, almost now saying to yourself, "Well, should I continue praying? Is it really worth praying on?" Well, that brings us then in the third place to the practice stated in our text. Listen to the final part of verse 10. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Let him stay upon his God. The word "stay" there really means to lean. It's the same word that is translated "lean" in Proverbs 3 and 5, where we're not to lean to our own understanding. But we are now in the midst of all of what seems to us as darkness, and we have no light. We are still to trust in the Lord, and we are to stay. We are to still lean upon him. I go back to Job again. In Job 23, he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him." But then he went on to say, you see, it was that time of darkness, but he went on to say, "He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And in verse 14 of that 23rd chapter of Job, we read, "For he performeth," or "he completeth, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." Oh, it may be a time when you feel God is hiding his face and not giving you light, but remember this: he is not and never will withhold his grace. The Savior on the cross, you remember that cry that he uttered, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think of those words, "my God." He was still trusting in his heavenly Father. He was still exercising faith. He wasn't crying out, "God, God, why hast thou forsaken me?" No, "my God, my God." And there were those hours of supernatural darkness that came, but the Lord Jesus was exercising faith still in his Father. Oh, the temptation is in times of seeming darkness that if we feel we're not getting light from the Lord, that we try to make our own light. We're warned of that in the very next verse of Isaiah 50, verse 11, about walking in the light of your fire. Now that would bring disaster. That would not be the thing to do. No, stay upon God. Continue to trust in the Lord. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He cares for you. You're his child. He has your best interests at heart. And his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why then would you despair? Why then would you say, well, I feel I'll just give up? Oh, don't do that. Listen to the counsel from the Word of God today. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Remember those words in Isaiah 46, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. That's the Lord's promise. The Lord is always true to his own word, and he will never forgo his own promise. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, again in our Savior's name we come to thee. We thank thee for thy word, and we ask that thou wilt take thy truth today and write it upon the fleshy tables of all our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.